Take your Bibles, please, and go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm glad to come here back home to West Virginia. I'm from the Fairmont area, and I was raised in the country, and I'm thrilled that we can come down here and speak to you all at your school. I got some dear friends here today. Brother Dave Holloway is a dear friend of mine, and Brother Scott Ross, I give greetings to you from Pastor Larry Karsh is down in, out in Oklahoma. So he told me to tell you, he said, howdy. I was raised in the coal mining area, and since I was, we hunted a great deal. We lived on wild meat, hunted everything you can imagine here in West Virginia. Now, I have three sons, and I've got a beautiful daughter named Jennifer. And every year we come home, they come home, where I live in South Carolina now, and we always go deer hunting. And there's a young man a couple years ago who got interested in my daughter, Jennifer. And he wanted to come down and go deer hunting with us. And I told him, I said, Mike, you cannot marry my daughter until, first of all, you kill a deer. And so that young man got up every morning at 4:30 with me and my boys, and he hunted hard the whole week. He didn't get a thing. He went back to Indiana. The next week, he called me up, all excited. He said, Mr. Savinsky. I said, what is it, Mike? He said, I killed the deer. I said, you did? He said, yes. I was taking the church bus home last night. And I killed the deer, and you didn't say how I had to kill it. I said, well, Mike, I guess that counts. But just a couple years ago, he killed his first deer with a real rifle. And my three sons walked up to him and said, Mike, we now officially welcome you to the Savinsky family. Well, today I'm glad to be with you all, and I'm looking forward to speaking to the teenagers this week. Do pray about that this weekend, and that God will give us a great time with them. I love young people, and about 35 years ago, I made a major decision in my ministry. I said, I'm going to give my life to young people and the college students. You know why? Because you're the ones that God's going to use in the future. And it's probably the wisest decision I've made in my ministry. And I hope what I give today will be a help to your life. You know, young people, whenever we preach, we ought to edify God's people. I'm here to help you to see a great truth from the Bible, which I pray will spur you on for Christ. Now, in the verse that Dr. Anderson had you meditate upon, in Luke 18:8, Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He was not referring to personal faith. He was referring to faith to the revealed body of truth. And it seemed like today, our nation's getting worse and worse. And young people, I believe you've got to see the significance of a major subject in your life, and that's the area of faith. And that's what we're going to preach about this morning. Would you all look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6, please? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look here, please. Throughout the Bible, there's a great emphasis placed upon the area of faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible defines faith by saying in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In that passage, the Bible tells you faith has two things. Faith has hope, that means assurance. And then faith has evidence, that means strong conviction. And throughout the Bible, we find men of God who had that kind of faith. The Bible speaks of the faith of Abraham. Romans 4:20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Again, the Word of God speaks of the faith of Moses. Hebrews 11:24-25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused because the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Then also the Word of God speaks of another man in Hebrews 11 verse 7. Noah, by faith Noah, being one of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews climaxes this chapter by saying in Hebrews 11, 32 through 34, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and other prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, cleansed the vines of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Here we see these men of God's lives were dominated by the area of faith. And that's why, young man and young lady, you've got to realize how significant this matter is in your life. Romans 14, 23 says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And I want to show you today several biblical principles regarding faith that you ought to incorporate and should have already incorporated into your life. And here they are. The Bible teaches, first of all, we must go by faith as an individual. Our text begins, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Which means every area of your life must be governed by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Hebrews 11, 8 and 9 says of Abraham, "And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country." Would you please observe, the Word of God says this man stepped out by faith as an individual. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, step out as an individual. I'll never forget when I started in evangelism. When I did, my wife and I had two daughters and 95 cents in our checking account. I had $80 cash in my billfold. We had all our bills paid up to date. We only had 6 meetings. And my first meeting, my wife and I made a covenant with the Lord and said we would give the entire love offering back to the Lord as a visible expression of our gratitude of God calling us in evangelism. My very first meeting was in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. And in my very first meeting, we had 2 bankers who got saved. Needless to say, we got the biggest love offering of the entire first year in evangelism. And my wife and I gave the entire offering back to the Lord as we said we would. And when we did, the Lord began to flood us with meetings. It got so bad, I was preaching 16 weeks in a row, nonstop. My wife was singing every night 16 weeks in a row. One night, ironically, we both had a dream. I had a dream. I was preaching so much, I just fell over in the pulpit from exhaustion. And the same night, my wife had a dream. She's walking on the platform to sing a solo, wearing a house coat with one shoe. I told her I did not mind the house coat as much as I did the one shoe. But you know what, young people? All of these years, God has flooded us with meetings. Why? Because we have incorporated a principle within our life. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith." And you've got to realize, if God's going to use you, your life must be governed by faith. But the second biblical principle is this: we must go by faith to see God do unusual things in our lives. Our text goes on to say, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Stop right there and look at me, please. Now, we know that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And God is omniscient. He's all-knowledge. And He is omnipresent. He's an all-seeing God. And since He is omnipotent, and He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent, then He is able to do the unusual in our lives. In the Old Testament, there's a man of God named Joshua, and God told Joshua to take the children of Israel and go and defeat a great city called Jericho. And the Lord gave a very unusual war plan. The Lord said, Joshua, take the children of Israel and march around Jericho once every day. On the seventh day, march around seven times and give a great shout, and the walls will fall down. And this was indeed a very unusual war plan, but look at me, God gave it. And so they marched around that city once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and then they gave a great shout, and the word of God says, the walls fell down flat. Question, what made the wall fall down? The shout? No. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, young person, faith honors God, and God will always honor faith. And you've got a major decision to make in your life. Am I going to go through life with doubts, hesitation, skepticism, or will my life be one of faith? Someone made this great contrast. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. In Luke 17:5, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You know the cry from your heart, young man? Hey, girl, you know the cry from your heart should be? Your cry should be, Lord, increase my faith, that in my lifetime, I'll see you do unusual things. But third of all, there's a third biblical principle, and that is, we must go by faith to anticipate visible results. Our text concludes by saying, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look here, please. A great man of God defined this matter of faith as follows. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of the faith is to see what we believe. In other words, faith always anticipates visible results. Many years ago, we thought my wife had cancer. As a matter of fact, they removed a lymph node from my wife's throat. It's quite a detailed story, but it came back benign. However, it meant we had to get off the road for one whole year. And so what I would do, I would fly for 3 weeks of meetings. I'd come home for 1 week. Then I'd be gone for 2 weeks. I'd be home for a week. And I was doing that throughout the entire year. And so one day, I came home after several meetings, and my three little boys, and they were like this, little stepladder boys. And when I walked in the house, they said, Daddy, we got to talk with you in the bedroom right now. I said, really? They said, yes, Daddy, we've got to talk with you right now. And so we went in the boys' bedroom, and they said, sit down the floor, Daddy. I said, okay. And I sat down the floor, and my little boy sat down like little Indians right in front of me. And they all said to me, Daddy, we want to start traveling with you in evangelism again. I said, oh, you guys, you're just saying that. They said, no, huh, Daddy, no, we want to travel with you in evangelism. And I said, well, what about your little friends? You no longer would have your little friends with you. And all three boys looked at me with tears in their eyes. Their lips were trembling, and they said, Daddy, we would rather be with you than have all of our friends. You talk about wringing the tears of a man's heart. I mean, it did something to my life. It put something and ignited something deep within my life. Because I realized how deeply these boys miss me. And so I said, okay, boys, we will get back on the road. However, I needed a truck, a trailer, and a teacher in 3 weeks, and I didn't have anything. So I called a good friend of mine up in Marshalltown, Iowa, named Dennis Matney. I said, Dennis, this is Jerry Savinsky. He said, yes, Jerry, what can I do for you? I said, Dennis, I need a truck in 3 weeks. He said, Jerry, there's no way I can have a truck for you in 3 weeks. I said, Dennis, God's going to use you, and you will have a truck for me in 3 weeks. And I hung up on him. And then I called Tom Wafer in Richmond, Indiana. I said, Tom, this is Jerry Savinsky. He said, yeah, Brother Jerry, how can I help you? I said, Brother Tom, I need a trader in 3 weeks. He said, this cannot happen. I said, why'd you say that? He said, because the factory is going on a 2-week vacation, and Jerry, there's no way they can have your trader in 3 weeks. I said, Tom, I believe the Lord's going to use you, and you have a trader for me in 3 weeks. When I got through with him, I hung up. I called a young girl I never met in my life named Joy Sugart in Greenville, South Carolina. Someone highly recommended this young girl for me as a teacher. And so I called her up. I said, Joy, my name is Jerry Savinsky. My wife and I have 3 sons and a daughter, and we'd like to know, would you prayerfully consider traveling and teaching our children? And she said, well, I don't know. I've never met you. I said, we know that, Joy, but I said, we'll be in Greenville in 3 weeks. Would you at least pray about it? And we can meet together, have a meal, and discuss it, and see how God leans. She said, yes. And so I began to see God's face, and God began to do something very deep within my life. And so 3 weeks goes by, and I called up Dennis Matney. I said, Dennis Matney, this is Jerry Savinsky. And he said these exact words, Jerry Savinsky, you'll never believe what happened. I said, what happened, Dennis? He said, a man ordered a brand new truck. And because one thing is missing off the truck, he's rejected the truck. It's yours if you want it. I said, Dennis, what color is the truck? He said, a 2-tone gray. Look at me, the very color I was praying for. When I got through with him, I called up Tom Raper. I said, Tom Raper, this is Jerry Savinsky. And he burst out laughing. I said, Tom, why are you laughing? He said, I cannot believe the timing of your phone call. I said, what do you mean? He said, when the factory went back to work, they got all of the orders messed up. Somehow, your trader happened to be the first one they assembled. And the reason I'm laughing so hard, as I'm looking out my office window, they're pulling your trader by, Jerry, it's here. My wife and I drove to Greenville, South Carolina. We met Joy Sugar, took her out for a meal. At the close of the meal, these are the exact words she said. I had no intention of traveling with your people. But after meeting your family, I know I must travel and teach the children. And 5 years, Joy Sugar taught our children. You see, young people, faith is not the blind outreach of groping hand that seeks for some sort of thing amid the sinking sand. But faith is certain trust in one well known, whom the Savior's cross his love has shown. It will not fuss or fret when things go wrong, but in the valley dark, sing a song. Look, young people, I would pray to God you would embed within your heart these biblical principles, because the Bible tells you without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's great potential in your life. By the way, you school students back there, my children went through ACE programs. My 2 oldest boys went through the AC program. It's a phenomenal program. And they went to college with no problem with it. And for you young high school students back there, let me say this to you. You have a major decision to make in a couple of years of where you're going to go to college. And if you think you lack the mental power, which I did, and you think you don't have the ability and the financial backing, there's no way God could use your life. One night, I was drying my father's coal mining bucket. And I said, Mom, and I'll never forget as long as I live. I said, Mom, by faith, I'm going to college next year. And I made that decision. as a teenager, 17 years of age. And I'll tell you what, step out by faith as an individual. God will do the unusual. And you can anticipate the rich blessings of God upon your life. Let's pray. Our dear Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, you be honored by the message. May it be a tremendous help to the lives of these young people. We think of the seniors who are graduating here from Appalachian. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless and direct their steps. Give them wisdom for the future. And God, may they have a ministry that's governed by faith. Help these students. Lord, and I pray by faith we see you direct these high school students. Thank you, God, for the teaching of the Word of God on this most vital subject. And may we honor you by trusting you entirely. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.